Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Wednesday, the 9th of June, recording at 9:37 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were stronger pretty much across the boards. Best gains in China, A-shares. Japan was the one exception, closing down slightly. European stock markets were quite strong because they closed near the highs on Wall Street, and they had also closed before Wall Street's gains yesterday. But Wall Street reversed its gains and actually closed near the lows of the day. And it was a fairly large turnaround, with the S&P, I'm keying off the futures here, but getting up to 1077, but then trading near 1055 right now. So that was quite a decline. And the Dow, I think, was up 127 points at one stage. I saw it and is closed down 40. Small percentage declines, but large tails on the charts. And they're having another look at the lows. Let's see, elsewhere, the long-dated government bonds, well, prices encountered some profit-taking in Europe and also the U.S., although bond price declines in the U.S. were pared back as Wall Street equities lost their rally. And the dollar was a bit weaker here today, sterling a bit firmer. The resources currencies had showed some decent earlier strength, but that was given up or even reversed as Wall Street fell back. Precious metals, gold, following its upside failure yesterday, was hit but then rebounded. Gold got down to 1222, but is currently trading. And I've just lost at 1234.75. And industrial metals firmer here today. Another day of rally from those overextended extended positions. Sugar was quite strong, white sugar. Also, crude oil bounced 73.91. Natural gas a little bit easier. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, you would not be surprised to hear me say once again that there's plenty of nervousness out there, plenty of uncertainty, although bearish sentiment holds the upper hand. And looking at the charts, it's not too hard to see why. We have seen, as I mentioned on a number of occasions, we've seen technical damage, and we have also not moved completely away from all the concerns that were being expressed about Southern Europe, the high frequency trading activity. This is the China slowdown. Well, it's the forecast China slowdown, and there probably will be some slowdown, but we haven't seen much of one yet. But certainly China has tightened monetary conditions, not by raising interest rates, but by increasing reserve requirements and putting some restraints on bank lending and draining some of the liquidity out of the system. So where do we go from here? Well, I think we can expect some further choppy activity overall. As far as stock markets are concerned, when we look at the charts, we see in a number of instances some lower rally highs. That's clearly a negative. And also, a number of stock markets are not that far from their recent lows that were established either mostly late last month and earlier this month. Now, those lows go back to May 6th and May 7th, and we've got Wall Street looking at those lows for a third time. Now, there are a number of similar patterns overall, but Wall Street is going to be the most important one in terms of overall sentiment. One, because Wall Street on the year to date has been a considerable outperformer. For instance, I've mentioned this before, but the S&P is currently down 5.33% on the year. That is better than most stock markets. Certainly, it's better than all of Europe. It's better than most of the Asian stock markets. It's not better than all of the North American or Central American markets. I noticed that Canada's a little better and Mexico's a little better. But Wall Street's been an outperformer, and in terms of the Wall Street leash effect, it is a huge influence, as we know. Now, if we get the S&P taking out its lows that we've seen recently, and they're mostly down in the 1040 region. Now, if we get closes below those levels that hold for more than a day or two, I would expect another run to the downside, and sentiment would obviously deteriorate quite sharply against that background. And if that were to occur, that could take some of these leading stock markets, such as the S&P and some of the stronger performers elsewhere around the world last year, it could take them back down. It would take them back down closer to the upper side of their base formations. But first, the S&P, if you go below that 1040 level for more than a day or two, we can bet that a lot of people are going to be looking for a test of the 1000 level. If you go below that, then we can be pretty sure that a number of people will be looking for a move back down into the 960, 955 area. Now, is that going to happen? Well, I don't want to assume so at this stage, but as I said on Monday and yesterday, the bearish factors have the upper hand marginally in here. Now, at this stage, I'm still reasonably relaxed that we're not going to see a bear market in the sense of the entire retracement of 2009's gains. When the S&P was way down at 666, a memorable number. But this correction has done a lot of damage, and we still to that what had been the cyclical uptrend. So that cyclical uptrend is clearly over for at least the medium term, and we're still not sure, or I'm still not sure, where the bottom is going to be in terms of this current reaction overall. So that's an uneasy environment generally, but I'm looking for buying opportunities. I've said this for a while, and I've also said in the same breath that I'm not actually in any great hurry to do it because it can be catch a falling knife territory until markets do stabilize, and they've been hit by a lot of concerns recently, as we know. I think we've probably seen most of the selling, but that's a guess. More importantly, what we do need to see is some evidence that markets have bottomed. That will require not only upward dynamics, because you can certainly get upward dynamics in a downtrend, but what it would require is an additional gain so that the stock market indices broke their progressions of lower rally highs that have been established since the April high. I don't know when that's going to occur, but the lower markets go in here, the more it is tending to improve valuations. And my best guess, and it is very much a guess, because it can't be any more. When you get a nice consistent trend, as we had last year, it's not difficult to monitor. When that trend is broken, and then you get a lot of volatility, it's much more difficult to to forecast direction, but my best guess is that we've seen most at the moment is that we've seen most of the reaction, most of the correction that we're likely to get, but that markets will need to spend some time in ranging support building before we get a move to the upside. I've said that before, and that's what I'm looking for. Moving on to the long-dated government bond markets. Now, if stock markets go lower, bond prices will go a bit higher. But the bond markets look overstretched to me. I mean, Owen's done a piece on the euro yields, and I beg your pardon, the euro bund yields. Those are, of course, German government bonds. They got down to, or very close to, the 2.5% level. They look overextended down there, and that is certainly discounting a lot of deflation at those levels. Gilt yields have rallied very strongly, and I think there's probably been a lot of short covering in there as the new coalition government has gained some respect for its repeated statement that it's going to tackle the deficit, and so it should. But U.S. Treasuries have been one of the main recipients of the so-called flight away from risk. I would rather phrase it that way than as a flight to quality, because I don't regard them as quality at these yields. And there's also a supply problem. And while the U.S. may feel like a safe haven at this stage, I'll point out that the U.S. is the one Western economy yet to do anything about its deficit problems. And the reasons for that, of course, are that the Democrats face a very important election in November, and the Obama administration wants to minimize damage in terms of seats in the Senate and the House. So we've still got the pump priming there, which is part of the reason, I think, for Wall Street's superior performance in the stock market this year, albeit it's still to the downside, but superior relative performance. But at some stage, the U.S. is going to have to tackle its deficits the same way they are currently being tackled in Europe. I think it would be unrealistic to expect the U.S. to grow its way out of these problems entirely. I mean, it needs its combination. All of these economies facing deflationary pressures with large budget deficits, they need all need GDP growth, but they also need some fiscal discipline in the form of some tax cuts, but mostly reductions in public spending. Okay, I actually opened a short in the U.S. Treasury bonds here today. That's probably, well, it's unquestionably a little bit early in timing given what Wall Street, or given where Wall Street closed today. But I think the premise is probably right. It looks to me as if the bond markets have seen, long-dated government bond markets have seen most of the rallies in prices, declines in yields, of course, that we're likely to get. Elsewhere, precious metals. Well, gold's fallen back from that 1250 level once again, but not. But it has yet to erode any underlying support in here. Gold's a consensus trade, and the timing in terms of seasonal factors is no longer as favorable as it has been, and it's often been negative for gold at this time of the year. I have a small long position, but I'm going to keep it small. I may chop it if it starts to erode support, or be fairly quick to take the profit if it starts to perform. This is not an environment for aggressive position taking, in my view. Although long-term investors, I could be quite happy. I'd be quite happy to hold gold if you're holding bullion on a long-term basis. And in terms of these stock markets, as I've already said, or I think I've said it, that one should be looking for buying opportunities in this environment. That doesn't mean that one has to rush in tomorrow, but lining up future purchases. Also, to repeat something I've said earlier on in audios, but possibly not recently, I wouldn't be at all surprised if China doesn't lead the way back up for stock markets. First, it was the first one into the correction, and the factor that the remaining factor that concerns me most about China is the one that worried me most at the beginning, back in July and August of last year, and that is supply in the form of IPOs. So that's still a headwind for China, but I suspect the authorities will be backing off their property price and inflation fighting efforts, because they are meeting with some success, and China will be aware that the economic conditions in Europe and other regions of the West have deteriorated here recently. What else? In currencies, the euro's decline, and that's been a big momentum trade, but that decline is looking overextended, and being a big momentum trade, it means it's a very crowded trade, and I think we've seen most of the downside move, but also have to add that we have yet to see any evidence that this overall decline is over. I don't expect a bust up of the euro anytime soon, and I think to maintain the crisis mentality, we have to see evidence that the crisis is actually deteriorating. I'm not at all sure that's going to happen. I'm not confident enough that the euro is at a bottom to go in and open a long trade there, but we are not that far off, in my view, from a low, and the obvious point is that the lower the euro goes here in the short term, the closer it will be to at least a medium-term low of some consequence. Elsewhere, sugar looks to be support building. Sugar had been a big performer last year, had a huge downward reaction this year. It's lost downside momentum, could be support building. Pork bellies, which I've mentioned before, and live hogs, they look overextended to the upside. Industrial metals, I've mentioned since I got back on Monday that they looked a bit overextended to the downside, and we're now seeing some loss of momentum. However, they probably need a reasonable amount of support building, because I don't think the current patterns can support more than technical rallies, sort of short covering rallies. So we'll probably see some ranging support building before we get sustained recoveries. All that takes a bit of time. And I think that's pretty much it here right now. More tomorrow. Meanwhile, all the best to all of you.